So, what do you think about three? So, is there anything about three that you think you should know about, or should you, before you go to four? Because if you do three, I know darn well you can do four. Never fail.
I get cruising through the day, and when I start, you know, I've been involved with a turn it over process for a while now, and I feel that I've made enough energy input to have God change me, and I know that I've changed in a lot of ways, my attitudes and my character, and other people have told me that too. So I know that I have a God consciousness, but sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I'll say, hey, let's go get him, buddy, because it's like a friend, my awareness. But what happens is in little things start to go differently than the way in business. I have to kind of project some outcomes because that's the way business is. And they start to go awry a little bit here and a little bit there. And for a little while, it's okay. I can shine it on, or I can say, well, you know, what's my lesson in this, God? But then what happens is after a little while, I find myself pushing the river, so to speak, wanting stuff to come out right and trying hard. And then what happens is I run out of words. I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't know what words to use to pray for it. And so consequently what happens is I just stop. I mean, I quit. I want to go hide. Because I run out of words. So could you give me some words, some actual tools to utilize during the course of a day to stay on the mainstream and to foster that communication? Because sometimes I'm lost.
Yeah, but you see, well, you're saying two things. You know, see, you're putting yourself as a judge to where you're at and what you're doing, what you're saying. So you're not trusting and not using the power God says you can have to go through this day. So you're doubting it. You're using up to a point and then you quit. You're putting your two bits in. You're saying that you're done. You're ended. And you haven't. You won't be until you go to sleep that night. You put your head in the pillow after you pray to God, or whatever, however you do it. If you believe that you're living your life today with God, you're following His dictates, you're doing all things that you have the power to do, regardless of how much you think. Now, I'm not talking about that. Don't put no judgment there. Don't think you're not doing enough or you're doing too much or anything like that. Leave that alone. Leave that kind of thinking alone. You just be the man you should be with God today. In your line of work, if you're asking God for the power to do all things this day, in your business, whatever your business is at the time, whether it's talking to a man, whether it's making a contract, whether it's physically doing the job or whatever it is, if your association, right then and there, what you're doing is with God, that's all you need. You don't need anything else, as far as I'm concerned. Because knowledge, your memories, your yesterdays, as a power, as knowledge that you should pass on. Sometimes you can't pass that on, is that right? What do? You get frustrated? Mm-hmm. See? It's the same thing. Same thing with me. I'm going to try to fix something. See? I can't even find a damn part. I know I got it there. Yet if I use that kind of an attitude, I'm lost right away. Or if I use an attitude of time, like say it's getting near 5 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, whatever time that it is that I'm going to quit or they're going to take the truck or whatever, and I haven't got it ready, and I'm going to get frustrated. And I'm going to have to start, then I really get lost. I can't do the job well at all. But what's wrong with me is my thinking. There's nothing wrong with what they're saying and what's wrong with the truck or anything else like that. it's the way I perceive it, the way I look at it. It's a fear. It's a lot of fears you can put in there. Of not doing the job right, or the boss, or whatever, however you want to look at it. Maybe money fear, not getting enough, or another job, or so on. But that's only because of me. This is my human head. My alcoholism is taking over. It's talking to me, and I'm listening to it, and I'm using that as a power from that moment on. It's guiding me, and it's upsetting me. God isn't upsetting me. And that kid that you're talking to isn't really upsetting you. But you're trying to push and shove, and you're trying to get something going, and you want it done now again, and it ain't happening now, and so on. Same as you, same as me. When I fix transmissions and I fix brakes, and I got one I can't fix all of a sudden. I've done everything I know to do it, and it ain't right. What the hell's the matter? I just don't know. Now, normally, you know, that would flip me out, but it don't flip me out today. You don't need to. That isn't important. My performance is what's important. My relationship with God is what's important. If it's right, I'm okay. I'm all right. And it gets fixed eventually, and it's all well. No great catastrophe. They didn't lose the building and the business, and school didn't burn down, or nothing else happened, you know. But that's what I have to do. You keep putting your two bits into your life like you're talking about, and you'll have the same kind of results every damn day you do it.
I do.
Yeah, you will. And that's why three, you know.
But that's what I asked for, is I asked for some tools
okay,
to utilize during the day.
I'm telling you the same thing over again.
Okay, I'm not hearing it. I'm not seeing it.
I know. Okay, what I'm telling you over again is my relationship with God today. When I made a decision to turn my life and will over to Him, we're on three. Now that's exactly where it's at.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. If you know what your life and will is, do you know what your life and will is? And if you're going to put it in God's care, well, do you know what that means? See, this is why three is so important before you do the third step prayer. Because if you do the third step prayer, and then tomorrow you get frustrated, you won't have no recollection of no prayer, no God, or no nothing. But if you have the basis of your foundation of your sobriety with God, by turning your life and your will, your life is your every being. Remember we talked last week about how your life is your performance today. It's the moment you wake up, the moment you go to bed. Any and all things that day that took place in your is your life, right? Whether it's working, whether it's home, whether it's driving a car, a truck, or whatever it is. That's your life, your performance out of your life today.
Mm-hmm.
And your will is your mind, the way you think, your process, the thinking process. And if you say that you made a decision of turning your life and your will over to God's care, as you understand, if you leave it there, then it's in His care. Then if you would live by that power that He says you can have, then His direction that day is certainly not for you to be confused, not for you to run wild and do things like you used to do. So you do have a choice. You have a will of your own. You can go back to do anything you want to do, like I told you before. But if you want these things, if you want all of the promises in the book, if you want God in your life to do for you what you can't do for yourself, this is how you do it. I did it with a watch. Another guy did it with a door. You're going to have to make a beginning to keep it alive so that when you leave the house here after a prayer, the second part of the prayer will be yours to do. To perform that day with God, that prayer will be answered. But how can they be answered if you're going to step in the picture and use yourself as the main man or the power? You can't do it. You'll always be in trouble. You'll always have the fears. You'll always have the doubts. Your own display, your own actions will prove to you that you're doing it to you again. God ain't doing it. I don't know what kind of tools you'd have to have other than the fact of the knowledge and the watch. Why don't you try the watch? It'll work for me. It might work for you. Try it and don't. Try your what you could pick out in your line of work. What are you around with most of the time? What's your association with? Try to share it with God and see if that won't bring a memory quicker about God to you.
So what you're saying is the tool is the consciousness that God is with you.
God is with you. Practice the presence of God. Yes. The book says God is consciousness. Sermon on the Mount says practice the presence of the God.
And that's the extent of it.
So
See, I always try to figure out what he wants me to do. And maybe I'm using a human head to figure out what a spiritual head is trying to
do. Well, yeah, you're doing all right. You know, I did the same thing. The difference lies in intuitive thoughts. Once you recognize what they are, once we get a little farther in steps, maybe and I'll show you something else that might take place. If you pay attention to it, you'll see what it is. Because I know that God's power is always there where you don't expect it, or you wouldn't even think in that direction unless you're looking or believing that God can do that thing. See? And then when He does, and you know that, then you're more aware of what it is that is going on. Because I find out that all things are taking place anyway, regardless of me, whether I'm here or where it doesn't make no difference. And I used to think that I had to always make things happen, like you're talking about. And you don't, see, because all you have to do is be aware and get with the things that are going on that you want to be a part of. See? Like your business, like what you do, like Lloyd does in his profession. Then he can be the man he should be and will be with God. Just like with you, like with me, fixing cars and trucks and stuff like that. I'm a good man, I know it. I'm a smart son of a gun, I know it. But not the way I used to think, though, see? I don't mean it the way that I used to think about it. I think only in terms of being able to accomplish the things that God allows me to do, and I do them in a way that I know He wants them done. He gets the credit, I don't, but I get the happiness, I get the life, the peace of mind. I get the results, but God let me do the things that I like to do anyway. It's like your business, probably the same. I know Lloyd's must be. He's a dedicated man. It's the same thing. Yeah,
Bob, one problem I have, a big problem. I know that when I'm having trouble with the world around me, I'm reminded, you remind me that the problem is my eyesight, and I'm powerless, and I've got to get back to God. And I remember, oh yeah, that's right. And that's where the problem is, and it's okay. When you talked about the fourth and fifth steps, and says, well, there's really nothing to it. You just put down your defects, and that's all there is to it.
And
I did a double take on that because, you know, I agonize over that. I've done my fourth and fifth a long time ago, but I feel so, don't feel at ease with it. I feel as, well, there's a streak of rottenness in there that I can't get out. And then that extends into the sixth and seventh where I'm not easy with that either. And I know maybe, I guess I really haven't, I don't have the third step down. I don't have that.
Okay, now maybe that's probably right then, what you're saying. See, that's why I said, remember I said last week to you about that prayer, you know. If you could tell me, and you could, each one of them here, if you could say that you thoroughly understand what it is as an application, I think you were saying this minute ago now, what is it the tools you actually need to do this with and so on. Well, if you can understand a relationship, is what they're saying in three, to be able to go through the rest of the program of recovery. Because the first two steps, what are they? You admit you're an alcoholic, that your life was unmanageable, then it tells you about an unmanageable life, which I believe is like I said it was. You know, it's not the drunkenness or not the things you do while you're drunk. It's thinking that you can live with a brain like you've got. And use that as a force or a power to drive you in this life and make your world all right. That's pure insanity. That's not insane thinking. I don't mean it that way. It's insanity to think that you can get off the path of what a real sane life is and try to stay over where you're at and not get where you want on the path. And then the third step is what we're talking about now, to make a decision to turn your life and your will care of God. I believe Lloyd is the only thing I got. It's the only thing I have is my relationship with God. The steps I know are there for the character change to take place, to clear away the wreckage of the past, to be able to go on for more, not just maintenance, but to go for more with God in 10, 11, and 12. But it's always the same thing. It's always living by God's power today. Principles out of the steps, which is spiritual principles, to live by. The book says so. If you don't have that, then you're going to have to perform by yourself. You'll have to operate by yourself. Now, you know darn well, it's like we were talking about perfection. See, I don't cop out, and I won't cop out to anybody and tell you that I do this 100%. And I won't cop out and tell you I don't do it 100%, because that's cop out crap, see? But I'm going to tell you this, that I go the best that I can go each and every day with God. All day long, the best I can. I give Him everything I got, regardless of what it is. And that's 100%. Each and every day. That's all I got. I haven't got any more than that. And it's satisfactory to God, I know, because He allows me to stay here. And here's where I want to be. So what you're talking about, Lloyd, might be. I'll tell you one thing for sure. Don't ever get hung up in step four about inventory, about defects of character, about shortcomings or anything like that. Because these are things that if they're omitted or knowingly or not knowingly, you know, just maybe they were done good in the day they were done. Who cares? You can always do it again. You can always go to your Heavenly Father right this moment, anytime. You can always make another list if you want to make another list. Because if you want to make a list, that to me would be important for you to do if you think that way. Now, if I think that way, it would be important for me to do it. But I can't tell you to do it because it's not mine to tell you. I know that God will also, with intuitive thoughts, will also keep you stirred up in a certain direction, a certain part of your life, until it's corrected. I know that, because He's done it to me I don't know how many times. And it's always something that I better do. And I don't know what it is until I look for it. And as soon as I look for it, He shows me what it is. It always happens that way. It's no mystery. It's no something to be afraid of. It's not something that you should be ashamed of or anything else. Something they do. Defects of character were coming up to the inventory. The reason I said what I said, Lloyd, is the fact that I believe that when you go into an inventory, the fourth step, if you go in with yourself, or if you go with your sponsor's brains and your brains, you're going to have a difficult time. You're going to have a lot of doubts, a lot of fears, and everything else, and a lot of slowness too, probably. But I don't think that's necessary. I don't believe so. I believe that the inventory can be done, and it's done properly and fearless. Any other thing you can add to it, moral inventory, whatever you want to say, can be done so long as you have step three in your life. The fourth step can be done really easily. You might not like it, but this can be done.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, I hear a lot of this on step three. I have the same problem. I'm sitting here talking about it, Lloyd. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And every meeting I go to, I hear these people, everybody, we seem to have problems with step three. Now, we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God 100%, right? Because we wouldn't be sitting here. So, we did. Now, to me, that would be a bigger job than step three. Now, if we can turn our will, our drinking problem over to God each morning, then what the hell is the part about turning the rest of it over? See, that's what I have so much problems with. And I hear everybody else. If we can turn the biggest problem probably in our life and turn it around from falling down singing drunks and be able to turn that 100% over, then what in the hell stops me? Why? What stops me inside? Now, you've got a lot of time. That's what I'm trying to ask you. What stops me inside from turning every little piddly thing over after that?
What would you think yourself? You tell me what you think why it would stop. Why,
I still want to control. That's the only thing I can think
of. Okay, what is that then?
Myself. I don't know.
Okay, we talked about alcoholism to start with, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about a basis of living by alcoholism thinking. Mm-hmm. And about a brain that talks and thinks of self, mm-hmm. self-propelled. Remember in 2, when we were talking about... This is how and why. But first of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in the drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principle, we are his agents. He is the father, we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We'd have a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we began interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose the fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. We were talking about alcoholism. This is step two. In step two, it says about different things that you could think of. Remember I said if you read and reread and read and reread this, until all of a sudden you become aware of yourself when you're there, because selfishness, self-centeredness, that is what we think is the root of our troubles. It's true. It's real true. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that sometime in the past we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in the position to be hurt. We're always talking in the steps. If the steps are written in an order and they're written about an alcoholic in the beginning to be able to come here, to say you belong here, to learn what an unmanageable life is, to learn about a power so that you don't have to live an unmanageable life driven by alcoholism itself. Then when you get to three, the only reason why you're having trouble with three, because you don't understand, like I didn't understand, what it is that you have to do to be able to have that in your life as an application for an alcoholic to live daily away from self, away from this untreated alcoholism. You don't know. You think in terms like I thought. I thought I had to make things happen. I thought I had to create things. I thought I had to drive things and push things. And I thought my head was the main man, was the main event, was up here all the time. And it's not. You're trying to do the same thing, Ron, that I did. You're trying to see if you can do so much yourself and so much with God. And you're never going to have the success with it. You'll only have success is when you stay where you belong. The book says that all through the first 164 pages. It even talks about both you and the new man, it says. Must walk daily in spiritual progress. Both you and the new man. All of this here they're talking about is trying to live so that these steps are possible after you make a decision. If you make a decision, remember I said that if you do the third step prayer, then you take back your life. And then you blame anything, any way you want to blame it. I used to blame it on God. Blame it anything you want to blame it on. And it's still mixed up. It ain't God's fault. It's just that I started driving again. I started being the main man. Never once ever using. Thinking that God would be there for me. Personally, me. And my troubles or my life. I thought that he was to be called on to fix things. Called on to, when you're in deep trouble. I thought that's the kind of God that he was. I had to learn different. If all things are possible, if he can take away your drinking problem, your whatever it is, why can't he take care of anything else you've got wrong with him? He can. But how do you let him? You can see step three, you can stay on step three forever, I guess, because it just goes on and on and on. But the important part about it is the beginning is made in three, so that the steps will follow because of three. See? Then in the other steps, all this what we're talking about will be displayed to you. Your defects of character will be removed. You'll know God will remove them from you. You know why? Because you don't have them anymore. You just got through talking to God about them. See? So this is the happening that takes place after step four. But you made it in three, so that four could happen, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The character change that takes place doesn't take place in three. It'll start in three. But what you're talking about will take place as the steps go on. you'll become the man you should be in your eyes, in God's eyes. So don't worry and don't think too much in terms of you're in trouble, because you're not. If you made a decision to take a life over the care of God, you're not in trouble. You were in trouble before then, because you didn't know any better. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry in the way you're worried. You do the performance today with God, and the end of the day comes, see what kind of a day it is. As these days come and go, see how great they become, only because something has been added to your life. The power that God has been put into your life.
There's no more coffee anyway. So.
We drank a bowl of coffee.
I said, oh, Cindy, I guess I'm plugging the pot. I just like I moved it.
Cindy didn't.
Do you want to plug the pot? Somebody.
Now, what you're talking about, Ron, is real good. Try to remember, if you can, what I said about what the power does to you in the process of the steps when you're working with God. Because you can't make the steps work by yourself. I am, oh, please, you can't. If it could be done, I would have done it. Mm-hmm. Nice try. So defects of character. You want to go into the fourth step? Or do you think you want to stay in the... Wind it up with the third.
Wind it up
with
the third and start on the fourth.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fine, sure. Well, what about questions? Anybody, anything going on that... Your head, about what we're talking about. Because there's got to be questions. There must be.
I think.
You turn it over. Do you still use the watch, or have you gotten to the point where it's kind of an automatic thing? You really don't need the watch.
It's automatic, but I do it all the time. Yeah, it's not automatic. I don't even like the word. You know, the reason why is because.
Okay, not automatic, but yeah. But it's you don't need. The watch is a reminder as much as you did when you first started out.
No, I don't need it. No, you. You see, it might sound silly to you, somebody here. I don't know. Maybe you might think it that way or something. I used to think it. Is I try to associate my life with God all day long by talking to Him. Now that means any time, any place, regardless. Now, that does mean that. So. But what it does for me, though, it keeps me closer to Him so that I don't have to be thinking in terms like what you're thinking about self. Because I've been like too busy there, too, I'll get sidetracked along the line, too. So when I'm doing that, I can't be doing the other. I found that. I can't think two thoughts at the same time. I never can do that. Nobody can do that. So if I'm there, I'm okay. I'm better off doing that than I am the other. And that's kind of an attitude that I had to take right along the beginning. So when I go into 7-Eleven for a cup of coffee, I take God in there with me. I talk to Him there. Even I play lottery tickets. I talk to Him. I have to do all of this. If I don't, then you know who else is going to be in the picture? Just me.
It's just me. Yeah.
It's just me.
With the telephone this last week, and at all times, when I'll even find myself saying, "Now look at that. That was a pretty stupid thing to do. That's a stupid thing to say." Yeah. And how about that? Oh God.
Yep.
I haven't gotten to the dad part yet. I really don't feel, but usually I say father. That was a real dumb thing to do, or a dumb thing to say.
Right.
And
right.
I maybe have to say I'm sorry.
Right. And that's what I do. This is what you're talking about now.
There were exercises that, like for those 3 days when I had the telephone reminding me, and those 3 days. But it's like on Sunday, it just seemed like nothing worked at all. And there would be times that I would think, and I would stop and think, if you let go of this and quit trying to manage it, quit trying to run things, everybody would have a good time. And not, it would make a difference whether they did or not. I would have. So they'd been better off. I'd have been better off. Didn't make any difference about them, because they were probably having a good time anyway. It didn't make any difference.
Well, if you honestly try, I know this for sure, that I see things today that I never used to be able to see at all. I appreciate things, or I acknowledge things that are going on that I never used to even be aware of. I'm not talking about a sunset or anything like that. I mean that too. But I'm talking about a lot of things. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about things that they say or do. Let me tell you something. It was I bought this house over in Whitsitt over here. It's a GI repo. And there's a guy next door to me. I don't know him. I've been there maybe 6 months. And this guy and gal, husband and wife are there. They came over one day, and maybe I told you or not, but the reason I was telling, want to tell you about it is because of the thinking process that I have in my head all the time. And they were putting up the cable, TV cable company, or putting a cable through there. So they want to put a guide wire in his yard up to the pole, to strike the pole. You know. It's in his yard. He comes over and he asks me if it'd be okay if he allows them to put the guide wire in his yard up to the pole. He took me out and showed me where they're going to put it and all that. I told him, sure, it wouldn't bother me. I went home. His wife both and him came over. So I went back to the house and I was thinking, now what the hell would he ever come over there and ask me that? It's his property. It's his yard. Everything is his. And he wants to know if I'm going to be upset because that guide wire is out there in front of his yard. I thought, man, that's a wonderful man. There's a man of God. I don't even know him. Me, I think that's my property. I'll put anything on a goddamn thing I want. I ain't going to think about you at all. And here the man and his wife come over and thought, that's terrific. But see, yesterday's I couldn't see that. I wouldn't think anything of it. See, I was too caught up with myself. But here I am today recognizing something that God wants me to see. He says, look here, I'm going to put you through an experience. And you're going to benefit by it. All you have to do is listen. I did, and I did. Something wonderful took place in front of me, and I appreciate it. It was a mark in my life that God says it could be yours. Now, if I had been somewhere else in my head, I would. He never would have come over and talked to me. I wasn't the man that he thought he'd have to talk to me. But I am, and he did. See? So I appreciate that. I thank God for that. And to have a neighbor like that would be considered. To think that he has to include me in his life to get an approval on something that isn't. It's his property. Not my property. I don't even know the guy. Isn't that something? Well, see, all around you, or all around me, things like that are taking place all the time. That's what I said about being able to acknowledge and recognize and appreciate and thank God because of that. It's a gift. It's an undeserved gift from God. We didn't qualify for it. He says you can have it more. That's really terrific. So, anything else? Jack, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Bob. One of the things I'm trying to surrender to God is my driving.
Your driving?
Yeah. Because I always drove like Paul Revere Road. And I couldn't drive otherwise, even when I got to where I was going and had to wait an hour and a half for whatever I was going for. I couldn't slow down on the road. And my driving, my ability to control the car and function has gotten worse since I got sober. You know, I'm not talking about how I drove in blackouts. I don't know how I drove in blackouts. I know on some occasions I was here and then I was there, and I don't know how I got from one place to the other, and somehow, you know, as far as I know, nobody got hurt in transit. But I mean, just everyday driving. And there's a route that I go from the morning meeting to the office where through Cheviot Hills, and it gets to be like a race course. And I pray every day, every time I get in the car, that, you know, God will help me to surrender. Insane driving. And I got to the end of the race course, and the guy in front of me started to stop, and I started to cut to the right, not knowing that somebody come, you know, I checked, but between my check, somebody whipped out behind me and cut into that lane. He was right next to me, and I started to turn, you know, I had that insane thing, I turned the wheel, I'm looking to see if it's okay. You know, so if it isn't okay, I'll be watching the action when it happens. And he hit his horn, and you know, and I snapped the wheel the other way, and we didn't collide. And you know, I just wanted to immediately, you know, go down to 5 miles an hour at that point. And, you know, and try to, you know, show myself, you know, what the hell was I going to do? Get to the office at 8:11 instead of 8:12? I mean, you know, I couldn't get to the office by 2 p.m., you know, so what the heck am I going to do with that whole minute? And it didn't even save me a minute. You know, how insane it is. And then to thank God that, you know, by his power, not by mine, I didn't smash that guy's car. It is so hard for me to leave it there. You know, I got farther along through that course without, you know, before I went bananas. And when I did, it was just that instantaneous response to something I saw. I saw a way that I could get around a car that was, you know, going to slow me down for maybe two and a half seconds at the most. And I jumped, you know, for no reason except total insanity.
Yeah.
So it gets better, but it's a long way from there. And all I can say is thank God for God. Because only a God would put up with me. No, nothing less than a God could handle it.
Well, you know, I've always had a problem with driving. Right from the word go, I've always had a problem. I think I'm the best driver, the fastest, everything else. So it's something that I have to stay on top of all the time. And I've been driving all day long sometimes. I drive maybe 100 miles, at least 100 miles a day. Freeway traffic, you know, they're going out in the highway and fixing trucks on the road and the freeways and all that kind of stuff. So you've got a hold of something, though, that if you want to use it, it works there, too. Mm-hmm. So you can't top out and say anything at all about it other than the fact that you're doing your own thing, you know.
Yeah, it was my taking it back. Yeah. You know, there was no question about it, you know. I had turned it over and I left it turned over for 99% of the trip. But when I took it back, it was just like walking down, you know, walking across a plateau and getting to the edge of the cliff and still taking the next step. You know, bang, there just was no support there.
these steps and this way of life, and that, as they come and go, you know, I had to learn to take it out of the time of them, you know, because I was caught up for some years with time. The reason why, I guess, was the fact that my sponsor had 9 years, and then it took me so damn long to get started that I kind of based things more or less like on time. I honest to God, don't think in time, whether you've got 1 year or 10 years or 30 years or whatever you got. I don't ever use that as any kind of a thought process. You know, it doesn't count in my book, in other words, because I can't use that for any way at all, for using it for any kind of judgment or any kind of criticism or any kind of knowledge of any kind. I can't do it anymore. Because I found out that these steps, in this God, they work for every alcoholic in the day they're in, and only that day. I mean this now, really sincerely mean it. And I had to get off the business of living to where I used time as a factor of any kind of measuring your sobriety, my sobriety, or anything else, because you can't do that. It's impossible to do that. To have success in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is only in the day you're in with God. No matter what went down yesterday, whether it was a sober or a drunk yesterday, it doesn't make any difference. And it doesn't make any damn difference at all whether you're big, little, woman, or man, or anything, as long as you're an alcoholic. It's only in the day you're in. The success is only in that day. The rewards are only in that day. All things are given to you as an alcoholic, I believe, by God, today and only today. Believe me, I mean this now. So that means then for me that the time element or any factors that I want to put in the picture, whether they're pro or con, it makes no difference. I'm the man I should be today with God only because of that reason. It's because all things are given to me today by God only today. Now, this has to be important to me, not to you maybe, but to me it is. So what it did to me, it took all of the yesterdays and all of the thoughts and all of the accomplishments, what I consider accomplishments, it took them out of my life as an acknowledgement to me. And it made it so that God is the main man. It made it important for me to stay with him today, to go to him today, to acknowledge him today, to praise him today. He's the Lord of my life today. I tell him so. Because of the results of step three. See? This is why I want it, and I want it more as each day comes and goes, and it gets more as each day comes and goes. The feelings that I have today, no matter how wonderful they are, tomorrow they're going to be better. Because that's the way it has worked up till now. The things that I seen yesterday, which I thought were spectacular, watching a little candy grow. Man, I'm telling you, she blows me away. I just watch her every day. She says things and does things. She's doing her homework tonight and everything. Yesterday I seen it, but today I seen it better. I love her more today because of it. It's more important today because of today. See? That's a hell of a goddamn way to live. For me, it is. Now, if you think that there's something there for you, if you don't think that maybe there's something there to touch you, all you have to do is pray to your Heavenly Father and walk that direction and see what He'll show you. Try to be the man He wants you to be, the woman He wants you to be. See what happens to you. The steps that follow are a process, so a character change can take place. For next week, we'll do four.
Okay.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Seven traditions.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right.
That's coffee.
Now pass my
coffee.
Hand.
Where's the
mouse?
Is it an IOU? Where's the. Was the coffee pot was just in front?
No, it's empty.
Are you talking about the big.
Yeah, it's empty. I want to thank Bob personally for coming over and sharing that with us. I know myself, I thought I had it, you know, I thought I had a way that was just really clear cut, and it just gets muddy. And I guess that's partially because it has to get muddy before it can really get clear again, and that's where I believe I'm at. And I think we're all here for a very similar reason. And that's really nice that you take the time out of your life to come over and share with us what's going on in that direction. I'd like to have Gail read a vision for you tonight, because that's what this is all about, and lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And I want to thank everybody else for coming tonight, too. It's really nice to have a group of folks that are sincerely trying to go along a common path. That's really a spiritual thing.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And after a moment's meditation, please join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
the same, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,